So gratitude comes from the heart center. As I was talking earlier, the heart center is the fourth chakra. The heart center is that space of compassion and gratitude and grace and connection. So in the Kundalini philosophy, in the Kundalini yogic technology, it's a little bit wordy, but it's Guru Guru Waheguru, Guru Ram Das Guru. And so Guru Ram Das was a yogi healer a long, 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 long time ago in India. And he was a person of service. So in gratitude, there is a level of bowing and serving others to raise our own consciousness.
Stay connected to gratitude. Hit the follow button right now and join thousands of listeners tuning in each week. We're the Gratitude Seekers. Come join us. Hi, Gratitude Seeker. Welcome to a new episode of the Gratitude Podcast. Our guest today is a psychotherapist and spiritual scientist. Growing up in an ashram, she was immersed in deep spirituality from an early age, falling asleep to the sound of chanting in her parents' yoga classes in the late 70s. Because of the world of yoga, spiritual awakening, and mindfulness, she worked with integrating that part of herself and science with research and all of the things that have to do with the Eastern and the Western philosophies. Her work has created a full practice with a waiting list year-round, and the government of Taiwan hired her to train their doctors and psychiatrists in meditation therapy. She's also certified internationally in yoga and meditation instruction. In her book, The Stressless Brain, Madernan Webster, our guest today, draws on a wide array of scientific studies, spiritual traditions, and her own 22 years of professional experience to share practical, actionable ways in which you can shift your thinking, change how you see yourself, and strengthen your self-esteem, just to name a few. Madar, welcome to the Gratitude Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me here.
My pleasure. So let us know a little bit more about you, about what you're passionate about, and what does a spiritual scientist even mean?
I know, isn't that a great term?
Yeah, I love it.
So I've been, as you mentioned, I've been doing therapy, psychotherapy for over 22 years. And I came into this profession because I really love helping people. I love connecting to people's stories. And I really love giving people tools to enhance and change and move forward in their life. And ironically, before I was a therapist, I was actually studying to be an international business marketing. Back in, this is the early 90s, I spoke fluent German, I spoke English, wow. And I was studying Japanese. So I was like on that.
Oh my God.
And I started realizing I didn't want to be a part of that cutthroat, that cutthroat environment. And so I changed majors and I spent some time speaking with my mother and looking at all the things that I love learning, all the things that I did already know. And it came down to counseling. And so I ended up switching majors and came into this field of work. And you know, when it comes to psychotherapy, there is the traditional teaching that you can learn in school, just, you know, all the forefathers of mental health and family systems and the brain and the mind. But it wasn't really until I started integrating mindfulness, meditation, yoga, Eastern technology, Kundalini awareness into my psychotherapy practice that there really was a big shift. And that happened 15 years ago. And it was actually my clients who were asking for it, because I used to keep my spiritual teaching and yogic teaching and meditation teaching separate from my psychotherapy. I just didn't integrate the two because none of that was taught in graduate school. Nothing about spirituality. Not even, we didn't even study religion, which is just amazing to think of. In this field, you would think that they would cover that. Maybe it's, I'm sure it's changed now. It's been a long time. But my clients were the ones who had come to some of my classes. And when they'd come into my office, they were like, okay, great. You're telling me about my parents and my family, you know, my background and my childhood, but tell me more about what you were talking about in class this last week. And so I started integrating the Eastern philosophies of consciousness and your soul identity and how the yogis look at the mind and our glands and our breath. And as I was doing this, because I am a lifelong learner, I love learning, I started looking into science and psychology and with research within the world of yoga and meditation. Because even though I've had my own experiences of feeling connected with myself, being able to drop deep into my awareness, just because I know I have that experience, I still wanted to know this, some of the science behind it. And so I, you know, a few years before I started writing my book, I just started getting into more neuroscience and biology and research, and all of this, you know, all of this information started coming, and now it's quite mainstream to talk about mindfulness and meditation and science and the brain and the mind. And but that was not part of the psychology world or really even much of the science world 25 years ago.
That's so interesting. Indeed, we got used to this, and now it seems that everyone is talking about these topics, but like you said, it really wasn't something that people used to talk about, which I think it's a good thing. And it's thanks to people like you doing their part in the world that these things are coming to the surface more. But I also wanted to ask you, I'm really curious if you've seen in both your experience and also in your research, things that have to do with gratitude from the perspective of science and also from the perspective of spirituality, and if you see a certain relationship between the two.
Well, there's a saying, you know, the attitude of gratitude. And when we look at gratitude, if you look at gratitude in, let's just go with science for a moment, with biology, when a human being or a human is in that gratitude, there's something that happens in relaxation within the body and the mind. Like you go into the parasympathetic nervous system. Because when we're not grateful, like when we're not sitting in gratitude of being able to see our blessings, as a society, I'm not sure how it is in Eastern Europe or Western Europe, but the United States, that people are really quick to get angry and get frustrated, and why is this always happening to me, and have an intense passion. But rarely do you see people have an intense passion when things are going well. It's almost like that's how it should just be. And so if you think about the energy in our body, when we actually have that gratitude, we have an attitude of gratitude, which means to me that we're able to be aware of our blessings at the same time as we're aware of our shortcomings. Mm-hmm. And that being aware of our shortcomings does not mean that our blessings and our gifts are obsolete.
I love that.
It's being able to hold both in your consciousness. Wow. So, yeah, because a lot of people, I find, you know, they come and they say, I just want to be happy. And you know, I look at them, I'm like, well, what does happiness mean? And a lot of times people, you know, associate happiness with something outside of themselves. And so that then draws into the conversation with clients around self-esteem and self-worth. And there's, you know, there's three kinds of self-esteem. There's three kinds of self-worth. There's other people esteem, meaning if I have a lot of friends or a lot of people like my post on social media, or I'm popular, or I get a lot of phone calls, then I'm worthy. And so, but if we don't get that, then we feel like we're horrible. So our self-esteem is based on something outside of us, or it's achievement self-esteem, which means that if I get a raise, or if I have six figures, or if someone, you know, tells me, oh, you know, you're so smart when you do X, Y, Z, or we get an A, and then we feel, oh, I'm worthy. But if we're not getting that, which, you know, I talk with clients about short-term and long-term gratification, and we tend to want the short-term gratifications, which is that I got an A, I got a raise. You know, it could even be as simple as I lost 5 pounds, which for some people can be really difficult, but it's this external object or you know, information coming within to us that now I feel good about myself. So an attitude of gratitude connects to the third, which is I hold myself in high regard. I love myself even when I can see and hold my flaws, even when I can celebrate and shine in my gifts. Both can be true at the same time. And sometimes I have great achievements and sometimes I might fall down. And yet it's, you know, and the thing is, I tell clients, like, I wish it was different, but it's not. We as human beings grow the most through hardship. And, you know, one of the things, when I was looking on your website, you were asking, you know, what's one of my most favorite quotes. And my favorite quote, and I was trying to look up to see who said it originally, it was said back in the late 60s. And I couldn't find the name, I'm sorry. But I say it all the time. It's not the life you live, it's the courage you bring to it. You know, it's like, just like, let that sink in. It's not the life you live, it's the courage you bring to it. And every single autobiography that's written by somebody, you know, not everyone, but I would say most of them, it is all about how they moved through, overcame, faced hardship, and how, what they learn from it. It's not about, oh, I'm so handsome and I make six figures, and, you know, it's not, I mean, like, we can see that in a reality show or on, you know, a movie or social media, but it's the inspiration is, wow, that person had such courage to face this pain or move through this experience. And it's in that moment, if we can pause and reflect back on our life and be like, you know, I have overcome some hardships. So they could be big, they could be small, but then it's looking at being grateful of that experience. Look at what, that was difficult, that was painful, and I was able to get through it.
Yeah. And that's the human experience. And we can identify with those stories. We, almost all of us, have had our hardships one way or another, bigger or smaller. And some of them we were able to overcome, some we might have not, but I think that that's one of the reasons why they inspire us so much, because we might be going through some hardships right now, and we mm-hmm. want that inspiration, and we want to see that there is hope, and that things can get better for us as they have gotten better for other people. And yeah, it's usually another interesting thing that I've seen is that in these moments of hardship, or at least after those moments, we feel most grateful as well, mm-hmm. because we have other people that are stepping in one way or another, and we are vulnerable enough to need help, because otherwise we might not reach out or let ourselves be helped, and this leads to gratitude. And I think that's very interesting, and it relates to what you just said.
Yeah, you're right in the sense of not everything works out. There is tragedy and there is pain. And that is a part of life. The thing is that when we have a painful experience in our life, how our minds make sense of it can become a lens that we look at our life through. So if how our mind makes sense of why did this happen to me, or this always happens to me, or it's not fair, then that unfortunately will become your lens to your experiences moving forward to some extent. And that is when we end up looping back into the same thing happening to us again and again, because we haven't changed. We haven't shifted, we haven't grown, we haven't deepened our awareness, even though something didn't work out, even though something was painful.
Yeah.
And so it is, part of it is that ability to be able to stop and look at, okay, I can look at it this way, but I could look at it another way. And if we can hold curiosity and creativity within our consciousness and within our awareness, and we can cultivate those two tools, creativity and consciousness, then we're able to make, you know, deal with something in a way that shifts the lens and we grow from it.
Exactly.
Because hardship is going to keep happening. I do believe if we don't change on our own within ourselves and push ourselves to some extent, something externally will come along and shake up your life. If it's a, you know, medical thing, or if it's a financial thing, or if it's a, you know, global thing, or if it's a you know, relational thing, something will shake it up. Because, you know, like there's that saying, you know, the one constant in life is change.
Exactly. Yeah. That's so true. Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, yeah, I just wanted to add that we are always changing, and, or at least life is always changing, and sometimes it's not very easy for us to adapt. And if we are aware, it's much easier for us to adapt, and it's much easier for us to grow and to see those things that might become bigger problems or might attract bigger problems. And when we have awareness, we can identify them before they actually happen. But if we are unaware, we might need, like you said, something from the exterior to show those things to us. And it's much better for all of us that that we are aware before they need to happen one way or another. So Yeah, I totally agree with that.
And that's a good segue into the meditation and yogic technology that I encourage people to practice their meditation first thing in the morning. And so before our call, I was up early and I did my yoga and I do my meditation. And it's about dialing into the frequency of consciousness to be able to operate in the day, to be able to be in that frequency of awareness within your relationships, your communication, your responses. And the yoga and the meditation also works on helping the nervous system. So if there is a crisis, we're less in reaction and more in response or pausing. And science has found that meditation does work on the brain. It does create more GABA amino acid in the frontal lobe. It does increase the gray matter in the frontal lobe. It increases when you do chanting or singing hymns. It increases the white matter in the upper partial part of the brain. The sound current of chanting and the breath work on the brain and also stimulates the vagus nerve. So there is things that are happening in your brain that feed into that being more mindful, being able to stop and think before we react, being more connected to the parasympathetic nervous system rather than always leaping into the sympathetic nervous system, which is can be triggered by the amygdala, which is the fight, flight, and freeze, which is the animal part of our brain. So go ahead.
Yeah. I was just thinking that what I've seen in my own experience is that when I do yoga and I meditate, even gratitude comes much easier. And I thought that was so interesting that by doing certain practices, it's much easier to get in a state of gratitude. I don't know if you've seen that in your experience as well or in your research.
Yeah. Gratitude, it's that state of mind of being more aware. And the yogis believe that we have a soul and that our soul's here for a human experience. And the soul is in that constant state of non-attachment. And sometimes I think that, when we think about gratitude, we think that it's always being happy, it's always being thankful for everything we get, be it good or bad. I think that gratitude is it's a state of consciousness and awareness of looking at like, oh, okay, this is really hard. And I know that on some level, I'm going to get through it. How, I might not know, but I have a sense of trust. And so that's the piece of, well, what does trust mean? And in the yogic sense, trust is that feeling of I am connected to the universal consciousness and that I am a part of the frequency of this higher consciousness. Call it what you will, God, Jesus, Muhammad, the sun, the moon. It doesn't really matter. But even science talks that there is a universal flow of consciousness. And in that sense, in the awareness of gratitude, part of to be able to hold on to that, like you were saying earlier, hope, I think it's really important to have a sense of trust. And when we've had pain in our past, when we've had our parents hurt us, or our family members hurt us, or a partner really hurt us emotionally, physically, financially, it can shatter or really hurt that sense of trust. Will I be taken care of? Will this work out? I'm working so hard. And that's where that spiritual awareness is important of connecting to this frequency. And, it could be really as simple as connecting to your breath. And most people, unfortunately, don't breathe correctly. They breathe into their chest only and they don't use their diaphragm. So like one way to think of it is some nice good belly breaths where when you inhale, your belly becomes big, your diaphragm comes out, you're raised the oxygen goes into your lungs, your shoulders might rise a little bit. And when you're doing long, deep breathing, you would want to hold your breath for just like, 4 seconds. And then when you exhale, your shoulders relax, your upper chest relaxes. And at the end of the exhale, you want to pull your navel into the back of the spine, kind of like a hugging in. And that, what that does is that collapses the diaphragm, which helps to really empty the CO2 out, which prepares you for the next breath. Spiritually, the philosophy is that when you pull that navel in, that you're connecting to your own dormant awareness. And the more you do that, there is an awakening that can happen inside of you. And so doing that simple breathing and bringing your mind's focus to the process of your breath, it could be as simple as thinking, I'm inhaling, I can feel my diaphragm move, I can feel my lungs move, now I'm holding my breath. Now I'm exhaling, my shoulders relaxed a little bit, now my chest is relaxing, now my stomach is coming into the back of the spine, I'm holding my breath out. And now I'm in, like, it could be that simple. And as a person becomes more comfortable to the flow of their breath, then they could bring in mantra. They could bring in, a mental focus that helps to entertain the mind. Because the minute we start becoming familiar with something, our mind can start to wander and it's harder to hold that focus.
You actually anticipated one of my questions.
Oh.
Why are mantras and chants so effective?
Oh my God, I love chants and mantras. And most people I know, and I've been teaching all over the world for many, many years, and most people who say, oh, I'm not sure about chanting, once they really chant, most people love chanting over breath meditations. Because it opens, like if we go with it with the emotional for a moment, when you, are singing or chanting, or even singing hymns or reading gospel, whichever your faith is, there's an opening in the heart center. And the yogis believe that the heart center is the gateway between who we are as human experiences to who we are as soul experiences. It allows that connection to open. It's also where compassion is, where grace is, where connection is. So that's like the psychology and the spiritual essence of meditation. That's like the short version.
Sure.
I mean, I could spend 7 days talking just about the benefits of chanting. So in science and research, they have found that when you chant and you can hear your own voice and it comes out of your mouth and it goes into your ear and it bounces on the eardrum and then it hits the hypothalamus in the brain and then it connects to the pituitary, that it actually relaxes you inside.
Mm.
Research also has found, this research study in Scandinavia, I don't remember, I think it was Sweden, but it's in my book. They talked about, they studied chanting, singing in hymns, talking in tongues, reading from the Bible, and they found that all of those behaviors or tools, if you will, help to increase the white matter in the upper partial part of the brain. And white matter, the more white matter we have in the brain, we are able to emotionally process our life better. So one way that I bring that into everyday life is, when you're driving in the car or riding your bicycle, and let's say you're really upset, you're maybe you're really sad and you're crying, or maybe you're really angry and you're really, just really angry. Our mind is going to be on the, path of like, why this happened to me, and why, why is this happening to me? I'm so sad and this isn't fair, depending on what, avenue you're going, anger or sadness. And we can get stuck in the more, in quantum physics, the more angry you are, the more angry you'll become. So what I tell people is, this is the time, even when you're feeling these emotions, and yes, it could be a real event that's upsetting you, you can use mantra or chants or prayer or hymns to really start belting it out. So, you know, if you're Christian, you could be singing this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, this little light of, and maybe you don't believe it. That's okay. Or maybe you're chanting hummy hum bram hum, hummy hum bram hum, which means we are one, we're connected to everything. So, you know, or there's a Buddhist chant or a Jewish chant or a Muslim. But the thing is that once you start chanting out loud, over, I'm telling you, over the next, it could be 1 to 5 minutes, your awareness and your energy will start to change. Because you're shifting the frequency by bringing in a mantra, by bringing in a prayer. One of the reasons I do encourage people sometimes, especially if you have a lot of anxiety and a lot of depression, I encourage people to chant or sing hymns in a language that's not your mother tongue. The reason why is our minds are super powerful. And if we're saying, like, let's say we'll go with the first prayer I was singing, it's a Christian one, this little light of mine. And, you know, you're chanting this little light of mine, you're singing, and your mind's going to go like, what light? I feel like shit. My life is horrible. I just got dumped. Like, what do you mean my light? Nobody even like, you know, our mind's going to fight it more because it's our mother tongue. If you're speaking French or Spanish or, you know, Hindi, you don't want to use your mother tongue. But if you then, you know, chant in another language, you can read what it means, but if you're like, let's say the chant hummy hum bram hum, and if you're just saying hummy hum bram hum, hummy hum bram hum, it allows us to connect to that frequency, and it's harder for our mind to try to counterbalance it, counter attack it. So that's one. Second, you're increasing that white matter in the upper partial part of the brain that will help you process the situation. And third, it's connecting you to a frequency. You know, if you think about, there's a universal awareness and flow of energy, it connects us to that. And fourth, when we chant, it actually stimulates our vagus nerve. The vagus nerve allows us to calm ourselves from the inside. So science has found that when you stimulate the vagus nerve, it relaxes your organs and glands. It can lower inflammation in your body. And when inflammation can cause depression, a lot of autoimmune diseases come from inflammation in our body. So there's a lot of benefits of of chanting and singing hymns and prayer.
Well, I love it, and it makes so much sense. I've seen it work in my own experience, and I know it's maybe not as deep, but just to give a similar example, for instance, I love listening to songs in other languages, especially because I don't understand that language, and it just helps me connect with the feeling of the song, and I think it's something similar in this situation as well. I'm not analyzing the song with my brain, with my mind. I'm just enjoying it. I'm just feeling it. And yeah, I think it's something similar in this situation as well. But I wanted to ask you, I'm really curious if there is a chant for gratitude, or that is related to gratitude.
So gratitude comes from the heart center. Mm-hmm. As I was talking earlier, the heart center is the fourth chakra. The heart center is that space of compassion and gratitude and grace and connection. So in the Kundalini philosophy, in the Kundalini yogic technology, it's a little bit wordy, but it's Guru Guru Waheguru, Guru Ram Das Guru. And so Guru Ram Das was a yogi healer a long, 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 long time ago in India. And he was a person of service. So in gratitude, there is a level of bowing and serving others to raise our own consciousness. So it's gratitude really is not just about the I, it's about the we. It's that connection to others. It's that. So by chanting Guru Guru Wahe Guru, Guru Ram Das Guru, you're able to connect to that frequency of the gratitude, the attitude of gratitude of life, of the service of others, of seeing, you know, we can go into Course of Miracles, which was written in the 60s, which is all about what you see around you as a reflection of yourself. And so it is part of the gratitude is connecting that I am connected to everything and everything is connected to me. Therefore, that helps that hope part when you're having a hard time. There, you know, there's an energy force that has your back. If you feel connected to others, it will be easier for you to ask for help. It's really hard for many people to ask for help. It's considered a weakness in most Western societies. So by chanting and connecting to that frequency of the energy of Guru Ram Das, it allows you to connect to that service and connection of bowing to our higher consciousness, which helps us to let go of our attachments. It helps us to let go of our stories. It helps us to let go of our hooks so that we can feel that attitude of gratitude, which sometimes is service, sometimes it's for others, and sometimes it's for ourselves.
That's so true. And since you mentioned other people and the fact that we are connected and that gratitude helps us with this, who are some people in your life that have had an impact that you're grateful for that you would like to mention?
I would have to say my two sons. I have a son in college and I have a son in high school, and they have been my greatest teachers. And I think that for me, the attitude of gratitude or the attitude of relating to gratitude and how people have helped me be more grateful, it is that love connection. And the love I have for my two sons, I cannot even explain what that feels like. It's beyond words. And these two humans have pushed every single button in me more than anybody else, maybe other than my parents. But yet the love that I have, the love, the willingness for me to sacrifice for them is so unconditional that has been a really, really big lesson to be able to love someone so much and yet not learn. Being the parent, I can't be, you know, not to say I have never lost it, but I have to be the adult. I'm teaching them and how to hold by myself and like, okay, they're having a tantrum. I can't join the tantrum. It's not a tantrum party. I have to be the functioning adult. And later, I'm so grateful because it really did force me. I know force is a strong word, but it forced me to change. It forced me to look at myself. When my sons call me on something, a lot of parents get defensive and just say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Or when you get older, you'll understand. Or, you know, I'm your superior. Or don't speak to me that way. But I really stop and listen. Okay, he just said this about my behavior. And I stop it. Is there any truth in it? Because they know me. And sometimes there's truth and sometimes there's not. And if there's no truth, I don't need to lecture them. I just drop it. So I'm very grateful for that learning.
That's beautiful. That's really beautiful and very deep. And I'm sure it's very inspirational for many of our listeners, as well as it's for me. But now we're nearing the end of our time together, and I wanted to ask you, where can our audience get the Stressless Brain, and where can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, so I am in the United States. I live in the Bay Area of California, so I don't ship to Europe. So for all the European listeners, there is an online yoga store called Satnam Vasant. and they do carry my book. So, and they'll ship in Europe. You can order my book in digital form and audio form. I just finished my audio book. Oh my God, that was one of the hardest things I've ever done, was record a book in a studio, because believe it or not, even though I speak English very well, German is actually my first language. I was born in Amsterdam. I spoke Dutch and English. And then I moved to Germany when I was 3 and a half, and I picked up German instantly. I spoke English with my parents, but German was my first. I had a very thick German accent when I was young. And then I lived in the States, and that's why I have this nice American accent now. But so I did record my book and audio, which you can get on Amazon, Audible, or on my website, which is mutternan.com. And also the digital version is on my website as well. And I have over 50 meditation tracks and meditations, chanting and breath, all Kundalini yoga meditations. I am creating a Christian meditation album, should be out later this summer.
Beautiful.
And then I'm going to do a Jewish and Hindu. I'm working on the religions.
Wow. I love that. I love that. I love the fact that you're integrating all of them. And I think it's amazing, because when you look at the essence of them, you can find those things that are in common, and
yes,
that bring us together, and that talk to our heart and soul. And I yes. believe that's very beautiful. But also, don't worry, you can talk about our listeners from the States, because most of our listeners are from the States.
Oh, so. Well, there's free shipping in the States. So I have the book on my website. It's cheaper than Amazon, and I have free shipping. And I'm more than happy to ship out. And I did create an album with my older son and 10 of his friends when he was in high school. It's called Sacred Chants of World Religions, and it's chamber a cappella hymns being chanted by these 11 high school kids. And we have Hindu, Muslim, Sikh, Jewish, Christian, and I added agnostic for those who don't believe in God. So it's a beautiful album, and it's just, I mean, you can just like lay in your pool or lay on your grass or on in your bed or sit in your couch and just listen. I mean, the sounds of these 11 voices, 12 voices are so beautiful. So that was my first project into incorporating, you know, bringing religion, because religion kind of has a bit of a dirty connotation for a lot of people these days, and rightly yeah. so in some ways, but we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. There's some beauty in the different religions.
Definitely. Everyone, religion has its own depth and truth to it, and it's up to us to find those beautiful things that resonate with us, and mm-hmm. just go with the flow and experience those things that are right for us. So thank you very much once again for being a guest on the Gratitude Podcast and for doing the work that you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. Hey, Gratitude Seeker, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this interview. I really appreciate it. And if you could think of one person that would also benefit from it, share it with them. It might actually be the inspiration that they need to make their day, or maybe even their life, much better. Thank you so much once again. This has been Giorgio Benta. Don't forget to keep seeking and spreading gratitude.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you experiencing more lack in your life than you used to? Unfortunately, some things are not in our control, but we can control how we see them. Join me on a 7-week journey from lack to abundance through gratitude. Go to georgianbenta.com/abundancecourse. That's georgianbenta.com/abundancecourse to join me now.